Chapter 1. The Ingalls Family Goes West. A long time ago, Pa and Ma and Mary and Laura and baby Carrie left their little house in Wisconsin. They drove away and left it lonely and empty among the big trees, and they never saw that little house again. They were going to Indian country. Pa said there were too many people in Wisconsin now. Wild animals did not stay in a country where there were so many people, so Pa didn't want to stay. He liked a country where the animals lived without fear. He liked to see them looking at him in the forest and eating fruit from the trees. In the long winter evenings, Pa talked to Ma about the western country.
"Let's go see the west," he said. "The land is flat and the grass grows thick and high. Animals run freely and there are no settlers. Only Indians live there."
"Oh, Charles, must we go now?"
Ma said.
"The weather's so cold and our warm house is so comfortable."
"If we are going this year, we must go now," said Pa. "We can't cross the Mississippi River after the ice breaks."
So Pa sold the little house in Wisconsin. With Ma's help, he made a canvas cover for their wagon. They put everything into the wagon, except their beds and tables and chairs. Pa could make new ones out west. The next morning, when it was still dark, Ma gently shook Mary and Laura until they got up. By the light of the fire, she helped them dress warmly. They put on warm dresses and heavy coats. Grandmother, grandfather, aunts, and uncles were all there to say goodbye to them. Pa put his gun inside the wagon, where he could reach it quickly. He put his fiddle between two blankets in order to keep it safe. Their dog Jack went under the wagon, and they drove away.
"When we get to the west,"
Pa said to Laura,
"you'll see a papoose."
"What's a papoose?"
she asked.
"A papoose is a little brown Indian baby,"
Pa explained. It was a long, long way to Indian country. Almost every day, the horses traveled as far as they could. Almost every night, Pa and Ma stopped in a new place. They rode across the wide Mississippi River before the ice broke, and crossed many other rivers and creeks. One day, Pa sold the tired brown horses and got two small young black horses with soft, gentle eyes and long tails.
"They're western horses,"
Pa said.
"Very strong, but very gentle."
When Laura asked what their names were, Pa said that she and Mary could choose names for the horses. So they called one Pet and the other Patty. They had traveled across Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, and Missouri. All that long way, their little dog Jack had walked along under the wagon. Pa sat up front, holding the reins. Ma sat next to him, straight and quiet. Baby Carrie slept in soft blankets in the back. Now they were crossing Kansas, an endless flat land covered with tall grass. Day after day, they saw nothing but grass and a big sky. There was nothing new to do, and nothing new to look at.
"Ma, can't we get out and run behind the wagon?
Laura said.
My legs are so tired.
No, Laura,
Ma said.
I'm hungry. I want to camp now.
Then Ma said,
Laura.
That was all she said. But Laura understood that she should stay quiet.
We're coming to a creek or river,
Pa said.
Girls, can you see those trees? That's where we'll camp tonight.
Suddenly, the road went down, and they arrived at the creek. Pet and Patty stopped to drink. The sound of fast-running water filled the still air. The river was silver and blue, and the water ran quickly in the middle.
The creek's really high,
Pa said.
But I guess we can cross it.
Pa looked at Ma.
What do you say, Caroline?
Yes, Charles,
Ma answered.
I think we can.
So the wagon went forward. Soon the wheels were in deep water.
The horses may have to swim out there in the middle,
Pa said.
But we'll get across all right, Caroline.
Laura thought of Jack and said,
I wish Jack could ride in the wagon, Pa.
Pa did not answer. He was busy with the horses, pulling the reins. Ma said,
Jack can swim, Laura. He'll be fine.
Then suddenly, the wagon lifted and rocked. And Laura knew they were in the creek. Mary hid under the blankets. She was afraid of the water. But Laura was excited. Ma said loudly,
Lie down, girls. Don't move.
Mary and Laura dropped flat on the bed. When Ma spoke like that, they obeyed her. Ma's arm pulled a blanket over them, heads and all. Laura felt the wagon turning. The water made so much noise. Then Pa's voice frightened Laura.
Take the horses, Caroline,
he said. Suddenly, Pa was gone. Ma sat alone, holding the reins with both hands. Mary hid her face in the blankets again. But Laura sat up and looked out. She couldn't see anything but water everywhere and three heads in the water. Pet's head, Patty's head, and Pa's small wet head. Pa's hand was holding Pet's head, and he was talking calmly to the horses. Ma's face was white and frightened. Mary was crying, and Laura felt cold and sick. She closed her eyes, but she could still see the terrible water with Pa in it. For a long time, the wagon rocked in the water. Finally, the front wheels hit the ground, and Pa shouted. Laura saw the wet horses climbing out of the water. Pa was running beside them, shouting,
Get up! Get up! Good girls!
And then the horses and the wagon stood still, safely out of that creek. Pa was wet and tired.
Oh, Charles,
Ma cried.
Calm down, Caroline,
said Pa.
We're all safe. All's well that ends well.
But Laura was still frightened. She knew they were lucky to be alive. Suddenly, she shouted,
Oh, where's Jack?
They had forgotten Jack and could not see him anywhere. Pa walked up and down the creek, looking everywhere for him. But Jack was gone. There was nothing to do but go on. Laura tried not to cry. She looked back all the way, but she saw nothing except hills and trees. Soon, Pa stopped the horses. He was ready to camp. Mary and Laura climbed to the ground, too. Pa seemed sad. He did not sing while he worked, as he usually did.
I don't know what we'll do in a wild country without a good dog,
he said. Pa made a fire and brought water from the creek. Mary and Laura helped Ma make a supper of salted pork, cornbread, and coffee. As they ate, purple shadows closed around the campfire. The wide prairie was dark and still. Then Laura heard a long, frightening cry from the dark prairie.
Wolves,
Pa said.
I wish Jack was still with us.
Laura felt like crying, but she knew she must be strong. Suddenly, she jumped up. She had seen something. Two green lights were shining deep in the dark. They were eyes.
Look, Pa, look!
Laura said.
A wolf!
Pa moved quickly. He took his gun from the wagon and was ready to shoot at those green eyes. Pa threw some wood at the animal. The green eyes went close to the ground. Pa held the gun ready. The animal did not move.
Don't shoot, Charles,
Ma said. But Pa walked slowly toward those eyes. And slowly along the ground, the eyes moved toward him. And then Laura saw a little brown animal. She screamed, and Pa shouted. The next thing she knew, a happy, jumping Jack was on top of her. Her face and hands were wet from his warm, wet tongue. He jumped from Pa to Ma and back to her again. Then he lay down close to Laura and slept. When Laura went to bed that night, she looked at the large, shining stars in the sky. Pa could reach them, she thought. Suddenly, she was very surprised. The largest star smiled at her. Then she was waking up the next morning. Chapter 2. Pa Builds the Little House. It was still dark, and Pa was packing everything into the wagon. Mary and Laura ate their breakfast in a hurry. When the sun came up, they were driving across the prairie again. There was no road now, so Pet and Patty walked through the tall grass. Before noon, Pa stopped the wagon.
Here we are, Caroline,
he said.
We'll build our house right here.
Laura and Mary jumped out. There was nothing around them but grass that reached to the edge of the sky. Nearby was a creek. It lay below the prairie, but they could see the dark green treetops. Far away, another line of different greens lay across the prairie.
That's the Verdigris River,
Pa said to Ma. Then Pa and Ma took everything out of the wagon and put it on the ground. They took the canvas off the wagon and covered all their things. Then Pa took his axe and drove away.
Where's Pa going?
Laura asked.
To get logs from the creek for our house,
Ma said. It was strange and frightening to be without the wagon on the high prairie. The land and the sky seemed too large, and Laura felt small. She wanted to hide in the tall grass, like a prairie chicken. But she didn't. First, she helped Ma make the beds under the canvas cover. Then, she went for a walk. She found a mysterious little path in the grass, and she followed it slowly. But suddenly, she felt afraid and hurried back to Ma. When Pa returned with the logs, Laura told him about the path.
I saw it earlier,
he said.
It's an old trail, I guess.
When will I see a papoose?
She asked.
I don't know, Laura,
Pa replied.
You only see Indians when they want you to see them.
Day after day, Pa drove to the creek. When he had enough logs, he measured the shape of the house on the ground by walking from side to side and front to back. He dug shallow trenches along two sides and rolled two big logs into them. Then he put two strong logs across the first two to make a square. With his axe, he made a deep, wide cut near the end of each log. The four logs fit together at these cuts. These four strong logs could hold up the new house. All by himself, Pa built the house three logs high. Then Ma helped him. Log by log, they built the walls higher while Laura played in the tall grass. One day she heard Pa shout,
Caroline, be careful! Get out of the way!
A big log was falling towards Ma. Pa couldn't stop it. It crashed down, and Ma fell to the ground. Laura and Pa ran to Ma. The log was on her foot. Pa lifted it, and Ma pulled out her foot. Pa felt her leg. Nothing was broken.
Can you move your arms?
He asked.
Can you turn your head?
Ma moved her arms and turned her head.
I'm all right,
she whispered.
Oh, thank God,
Pa said.
Nothing's broken. It's only a bad sprain.
Ma's face was gray, but she said bravely,
Well, a sprain will soon get better. Don't worry, Charles.
But Ma's foot didn't get better for some time.
The house must wait,
said Pa. Then one afternoon, Pa came up the creek road singing.
Good news,
he shouted.
We have a neighbor only 3 kilometers away on the other side of the creek. I met him while I was hunting. He's going to help me finish our house, and then I'll go over and help him with his house.
Early the next morning, Mr. Edwards arrived. He was tall and wore old clothes, but he was very polite to Ma, and he was a fast worker. In one day, he and Pa finished the walls. They laughed and sang while they worked, and their axes made the wood fly. They cut holes for a door and two windows, and soon the house was finished, except for the roof and floor. Laura ran inside the new house. It smelled sweetly of cut wood and prairie grass. The sun shone through the window holes and fell across Laura's hands and her arms and her feet. The walls were thick, and the house felt large and strong. Ma had cooked a good supper, and she and Pa invited Mr. Edwards to stay. There was rabbit and hot cornbread with pork, and even coffee with real sugar. Then Pa took out his fiddle. Mr. Edwards lay on the ground near the fire to listen as Pa played Laura and Mary's favorite song. "I am a gypsy king." Pa's voice was deeper than an old frog's. Laura could not stop laughing. Then Mr. Edwards jumped up and began to dance wildly in the moonlight. Pa played song after song while Mr. Edwards danced. Laura's and Mary's hands were clapping, and their feet were moving with the music, too. And baby Carrie, who had woken up, was sitting in Ma's arms, clapping her little hands and laughing. When it was time for Mr. Edwards to go, he took his gun and said good night. Pa played one last song as Mr. Edwards walked away into the darkness, singing happily. When the song ended, the prairie was silent. Only the wind whispered in the tall grass.
"The walls are up,"
Pa said to Ma the next morning.
"Let's move in. I heard wolves everywhere around us last night. We should have strong, thick walls around us. I'll make the floor and roof later, because I must build a stable for Pet and Patty as fast as I can. They should be safe inside walls, too."
"Why haven't we seen any Indians?"
Ma asked.
"I don't know,"
Pa replied.
"I've seen the places where they camp. They're away hunting for food now, I guess."
After breakfast, Pa got on top of the walls to put the canvas wagon cover over the house. The canvas blew wildly in the wind, and so did Pa's hair. Once, he almost flew away into the air like a big bird. But he finally tied the canvas down. By dinner time, the house was ready. The beds were made on the floor. Short logs had become chairs. Pa's gun was up in its place over the door. It was a pleasant house.
"Before winter comes, I'll make a wood floor and a solid roof,"
Pa said.
"But that must wait until I finish helping Mr. Edwards and building a stable. We're going to do well here, Caroline. We'll be happy here for the rest of our lives."
Laura liked this place, too. She liked the great big sky, the winds, and the wide land. Everything was so clean and big and wonderful. Inside the thick walls of their new home, they felt warm and safe. Pa put up a quilt over the door hole. As she fell asleep that night, Laura heard a wolf's cry from somewhere far away on the prairie. She did not feel so frightened. Thank you. Chapter 3. Wolves Frighten the Family. Pa and Mr. Edwards built the stable for Pet and Patty in one day. By the time they put the roof on, it was dark.
"Now,"
said Pa,
"let those wolves howl. I'll sleep tonight."
In the morning, when Laura went into the stable, she found a surprise waiting for her. A little colt with long ears stood beside Pet. When Laura ran toward it, gentle Pet put back her ears and showed her teeth.
"Stay back, Laura,"
Pa shouted.
"She could bite you."
Then he said to Pet,
"You know we won't hurt your baby, Pet."
Pet let Pa touch the baby, but she didn't let Laura or Mary go near her. Early that afternoon, Pa rode Patty across the prairie to see what he could see. There was plenty of meat in the house, so he did not take his gun. By late afternoon, he still had not come home. Ma and Laura began to get supper ready outside by the fire. Mary was in the house, taking care of the baby. And Laura asked Ma,
"What's the matter with Jack?"
Jack was walking up and down and around the house, looking worried. His hair stood up on his neck. Then Pet started running around in circles. Ma looked around at the wide prairie and the sky, but didn't see anything unusual.
"It's probably nothing at all, Laura,"
Ma said. She made the coffee. The prairie chicken that was cooking on the fire began to smell good. But all the time, Ma went on looking around. Suddenly, Patty came running fast across the prairie. Pa was almost flat, holding on to her neck. Patty ran past the stable before Pa could stop her. She was trembling, and her black coat was hot and wet. Pa was hot and tired, too.
"What's the matter, Charles?"
Ma asked him. Pa's eyes were looking toward the creek, so Ma and Laura looked at it too. But they only saw grass and trees.
"What is it?"
Ma asked again.
"Why were you riding Patty so fast?"
"I was afraid the wolves had come here."
"Wolves?"
Ma cried.
"What wolves?"
"Everything's fine now, Caroline,"
said Pa.
"Let me rest a minute."
Then he said,
"We saw 50 of them, Caroline. They were the biggest wolves I've ever seen. It was terrible."
Supper was ready. Mary and Laura stayed close to the fire and kept baby Carrie with them. They could feel the darkness everywhere, and they didn't stop looking around. Shadows moved on the prairie. Jack did not growl, but his ears were lifted, listening to the darkness. The girls ate their chicken as they listened to Pa telling Ma about the wolves. He had found some more neighbors. Settlers were coming in and building houses along both sides of the creek. Not far away, a man and his wife were building a house. Their name was Scott, and Pa said they were nice people. as he was riding home across the prairie, a pack of wolves came out of nowhere. They were all around Paw in a moment.
It was a big pack,
Paw said.
There were 50 wolves, and the biggest wolves I ever saw in my life. Their leader was a meter tall. I tell you, my hair stood straight up.
And you didn't have your gun, said Ma.
I know, but to be honest, I didn't miss it. You can't fight 50 wolves with one gun.
What did you do?
Ma asked.
Nothing,
said Pa.
Patty tried to run, but I pulled the reins hard and made her walk. Wolves will chase and hurt a running horse.
How awful, Charles,
Ma said quietly.
Yes, it was,
said Pa.
Those wolves just walked along with us, like a pack of dogs going along with a horse. They were all around us, jumping and playing with each other, just like dogs. We were lucky they weren't hungry.
Laura's mouth and eyes were wide open. Her heart was beating fast.
Patty was trembling all over,
Pa said.
She was so scared. I was too, but I made her walk. When we got near the creek, the leader turned down toward the creek, and the rest of the pack followed him. That's when I let Patty go. I was scared the whole way home. I thought the wolves might come this way. I knew you could keep the wolves out of the house with the gun, but Pet and her colt were outside.
I guess I could save our horses, Charles,
Ma said.
I know,
said Pa.
I wasn't thinking straight, but the wolves are far from here by now, and all's well that ends well.
Jack was walking around the campfire. When he stopped to smell the air, the hair lifted on his neck.
It's time for bed, girls,
Ma said. She took them all into the house. But it took Laura a long time to fall asleep. Suddenly, she was sitting straight up in bed. She had been asleep. Light from the moon was coming through the window and the cracks in the wall. Pa was standing there with his gun. Suddenly, a wolf howled right in Laura's ear. She pulled away from the wall. The wolf was just on the other side of it. Laura was too scared to speak. Then many wolves started howling all around the house, and Laura got out of bed. Pa turned his head and saw her standing there.
Do you want to see them, Laura?
He asked softly. Without saying anything, Laura walked over to Pa. He put down his gun and lifted her up to the window. There in the light of the moon sat a half circle of wolves. They looked at Laura, and she looked at them. The biggest one was taller than Laura. His coat was gray, and his eyes were shining and green. Laura looked and looked at that wolf.
He's awfully big,
Laura said into Pa's ear.
Yes, and see how his coat shines,
Pa said into her hair.
They're in a circle around the house.
Laura went with him to the other window. There she saw the other half of the circle of wolves. The big wolf lifted his nose to the sky and howled. All the other wolves answered him. The noise filled the wide prairie.
Now go back to bed, Laura,
Pa said.
Go to sleep. Jack and I will take care of you all.
So Laura went back to bed. She heard the wolves howling and trying to smell them through the cracks in the walls of the house. It was a long time before she fell asleep. Chapter 4. Pa finishes the house. When Laura woke up the next morning, the warm sun was on her face. She ran outdoors. Mary was talking to Ma by the fire. There were no wolves anywhere. Pa came up the creek road with his gun in hand. He had made sure that the wolves were gone. They all sat by the fire and ate their breakfast.
I'll make a door today,
Pa said.
I want more than a quilt between us and the wolves next time.
After breakfast, Pa took the horses and his axe and went to get wood for the door. Mary watched, but Laura helped Pa to make the door. She gave him his saw, which he used to cut the logs at the ends. With his axe, he made nice straight boards from the logs. He laid the long boards on the ground and fastened some shorter boards across them. That made the door. Then Pa made a door frame and put hinges on the door to make it open and close. While he put the door in place, Laura stood against it to hold it up, and Pa fastened the hinges to the frame. When the door was finished, it was beautiful and strong.
Now we're all safe,
said Pa.
And I had a fine little helper.
He put his hand gently on Laura's head. The sun was going down, the wind was cooler, and supper was cooking on the fire. It was salt pork, which made the best supper smells that Laura had ever smelled. That night, Pa said to Ma,
Now, Caroline, I'm going to build you a fireplace. Then you can do your cooking inside the house. I've never seen such a sunny place as this, but I suppose that one of these days the rains will come.
Yes, Charles, Ma said. Good weather always comes to an end sooner or later.
And so Pa was soon cutting away the grass just outside the wall of the house where he was going to build the fireplace. Then he climbed into the wagon. He looked down at Laura. She was looking up at him.
Do you want to go along, Laura? You and Mary?
Ma said that they could. The girls climbed up and sat on the high seat beside Pa. Pet and Patty started with a little jump and pulled the wagon down the new road that Pa's wagon wheels had begun to make. They rode through dry valleys and over low, round hills. Forests covered some of these hills, but some of them were open and grassy. Deer were lying under the trees or standing and eating grass in the sun. They lifted their heads and watched the wagon with their large, soft eyes. Birds sang and rabbits jumped out of the way of the wagon. When they arrived at the creek, Pa said,
"You girls can play, but don't go too far into the water."
So Laura and Mary played by the creek, while Pa dug the big rocks that he needed for the fireplace. When the wagon was full, they rode home to the high prairie, where the wind was blowing and the grass was singing. Laura decided she liked the high prairie best. It was so wide and sweet and clean. That afternoon, the family watched Pa build the fireplace. First, he had cleared grass in a square outside the house wall. Now he put a row of rocks around the square. Next, he mixed earth and water to a beautiful thick mud. He put some mud over the rocks. In the mud, he put another row of rocks. With rocks and mud, and more rocks and more mud, Pa built the fireplace and chimney as high as the house wall. Then he used wood and mud to finish the top of the chimney. Finally, he went into the house, and with his axe and saw, he cut a hole in the wall. And there was the fireplace. The whole family stood and admired it. Ma carefully built a little fire in the new fireplace and cooked a prairie chicken for supper. And that evening, they ate in their house. The chicken tasted so good in Laura's mouth. Her hands and face were washed, and her hair was brushed. She sat up straight on her log chair and used her knife and fork nicely, as Ma had taught her. She did not say anything, because children must not speak at the table until they are spoken to. But she looked at Pa and Ma and Mary and baby Carrie, and she felt happy. It was nice to be in a house again. All day long, every day, Laura and Mary were busy. When the dishes were washed and the beds were made, there was always plenty to do and to see. In the tall grass, they looked for birds and watched baby prairie chickens running to their mothers. They watched snakes lying still in the sun or moving fast through the prairie. All the time, of course, either Laura or Mary was taking care of baby Carrie. Sometimes Laura forgot to be quiet when baby Carrie was sleeping. She ran around and shouted until Ma came to the door and said,
"Laura, dear, must you shout like an Indian? In fact, you girls are getting as brown as Indians in the sun. Why can't you learn to keep your hats on?"
"Pa, when are we going to see a papoose?"
Laura asked. Pa was up on the house wall, beginning to put on the roof.
"Why do you want to see an Indian baby?"
Ma said, surprised.
"Put on your hat and forget your crazy ideas."
But Laura did not forget the papoose. This was Indian country, and she wanted to see Indians. She knew that she would see them sometime, but she was tired of waiting. Pa had taken the canvas off the top of the house. For days he had been carrying logs from the creeks and cutting them into long, thin boards. The boards were lying all around the house. Now Pa reached down and pulled up a board. He put it across the rafters. Then he began to nail the board to the rafters. Pa pulled up and nailed down more boards, all the way to the top of the rafters. The roof was done. Rain would never get in. Then Pa made a floor with beautiful hardwood.
You've done a wonderful job, Charles,
Ma said. They were all happy that night. The sky was full of stars. Pa sat for a long time by the open door and played his fiddle and sang to his family in the house and to the stars outside. Later, Pa dug a well with Mr. Scott's help, and they didn't need to fetch muddy water from the creek anymore. And after that, he went to town to get glass to put in the windows. And then the house was truly finished. Chapter 5 Indians. Early one morning, Pa took his gun and went hunting. Jack wanted to go too, but Pa tied him to the stable.
No, Jack,
Pa said.
You must stay here and take care of the family.
Then he said to Mary and Laura,
Don't untie him, girls.
Poor Jack lay down. Mary and Laura stayed by the stable all morning and tried to play with him, but he was miserable. Jack's head was on Laura's leg, and she was talking to him when he suddenly stood up and growled. The hair on his neck stood straight up, and his eyes stared red and angry. Laura was afraid. Jack had never growled at her before. Then she looked over her shoulder where Jack was looking, and she saw two wild men, one behind the other, coming closer on the Indian trail.
Mary, look!
She shouted. Mary looked and saw them too. They were tall, thin, fierce-looking men. Their skin was reddish-brown. Their eyes were black and shining. There were feathers on their heads.
Indians,
Mary whispered. Laura suddenly felt cold. Her legs trembled. Jack growled angrily. The Indians came closer and closer. Then Mary and Laura watched them walk right into the house. Jack was growling, jumping, and trying to break free.
Jack's here,
Laura whispered to Mary.
We'll be safe if we stay close to him. But they're in the house,
Mary whispered.
They're in the house with Ma and Carrie.
Then Laura began to shake all over. She knew she must do something. What were the Indians doing to Ma and baby Carrie? There was no sound from the house.
Oh, what are they doing to Ma?
Laura screamed in a whisper.
Oh, I don't know,
Mary whispered.
I'm going to untie Jack,
Laura whispered loudly.
He'll kill them. Pa told us not to do that,
Mary answered.
He didn't know Indians would come,
Laura said.
He said not to untie Jack.
Mary was almost crying. Laura thought of little baby Carrie and Ma, there in the house with those Indians.
I'm going in to help Mom,
she said. She ran two steps and then turned and flew back to Jack. She hid her face against his neck.
We mustn't leave Ma in there alone,
Mary whispered. She stood still and trembled. Laura made herself leave Jack. She shut her eyes and ran towards the house as fast as she could. She fell down, and her eyes opened. She got up again and started running. Mary was right behind her. They came to the door. It was open, and they entered the house without a sound. The naked wild men stood by the fireplace. Ma was cooking something over the fire, while baby Carrie hid her face in Ma's dress. Laura ran towards Ma, but as she reached the Indians, she smelled something awful. She looked up at the Indians and ran to hide behind the table. With one eye, she looked out at the wild men. First, she saw the moccasins on their feet, then their thin red-brown legs all the way up. Around their waists, each Indian wore the skin of a small animal. The skin was black and white, and now Laura knew what had made that smell. The skins were made from fresh skunks. There was a knife and a small axe in each skin. Their faces were very calm and very fierce. These wild men had no hair around their ears, where hair usually grows. There was hair only at the very top of their heads, and they had put feathers in it. When Laura looked out from behind the table, both Indians were looking straight at her. Her heart jumped. The Indians did not move. Only their eyes shone. Laura did not move either. Then the Indians made short sounds like,
huh.
Laura hid again behind the table. She heard them sitting down on the floor. She heard Ma giving them cornbread, and she heard them eating it. When Laura looked again, she saw they had eaten every bit of the cornbread. Then the Indians got up. They looked at Ma, made deep noises in their throats, and walked out the door. Their feet made no sound at all. Ma sat down on the bed. She looked sick. She put her arms around Laura and Mary.
Do you feel sick, Ma?
Mary asked her.
No,
said Ma.
I'm just thankful they're gone.
Soon Pa arrived home with a big rabbit and two prairie chickens. He put his gun up in its place over the door. Laura and Mary threw their arms around him, both talking at the same time.
What's all this?
He said.
Indians? So you've seen Indians at last, have you, Laura? I noticed they have a camp in a valley west of here. Did Indians come into the house, Caroline?
Yes, Charles. Two of them,
Ma said.
I'm sorry, but they took all your tobacco and ate a lot of cornbread. I just gave them what they wanted. Oh, Charles, I was afraid.
You did the right thing,
Pa told her.
We don't want to make enemies of the Indians.
Then he said,
oh, what a smell!
They wore fresh skunk skins around their waists, said Ma.
and that was all they wore.
Later, when Laura and Mary were helping Pa clean the prairie chickens, Laura said,
I wanted to untie Jack to eat those Indians.
Pa laid down his knife and asked in a terrible voice,
Did you girls even think of untying Jack?
Laura dropped her head and whispered,
Yes, Pa.
After I told you not to?
Pa said, in a more terrible voice,
Yes, Pa.
Mary whispered, almost crying. For a moment, Pa was silent.
After this,
he then said in his angry voice,
You girls must do as I say. You must always obey me. Do you hear?
Yes, Pa.
Laura and Mary whispered.
If the Indians come again and Jack is untied, he'll bite them. And then there will be trouble. Bad trouble. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes, Pa.
The girls said. But they did not understand.
Do as you're told,
said Pa.
And you'll be safe.
One day, Pa said that the Indians had left their little camp on the prairie.
Do you want to see it?
He asked Laura and Mary. When the girls jumped up and down with excitement, Pa said,
Come on then, let's go.
The ground was hot under their feet. They went farther and farther into the big prairie. At last, they went down into the little valley where the Indians had camped. Laura and Mary looked around. There were small animals, flowers, and trees. It was a beautiful secret place.
Pa, are there other Indian camps on the prairie?
Laura asked.
Yes, Laura,
he answered.
Are there Indians in them?
She whispered.
I don't know,
said Pa.
Perhaps.
She held one of his hands, and Mary held the other, and together they looked at the Indians' camp. There were old campfires. They could see where Indian horses had eaten the grass, where big and small moccasins had walked, and where Indians had cooked and eaten. Suddenly, Laura shouted,
Look! Look!
Something bright blue was shining on the ground. She picked it up. It was a beautiful blue bead. Laura shouted with excitement. Then Mary saw a red bead, and Laura saw a green one, and they forgot everything except beads. They found white beads and brown beads and more red and blue beads. All that afternoon, they looked for beads. When they had finished, the sun was going down. Laura had a handful of beads, and so did Mary. Pa put them carefully in his pockets, and they all went home together. Supper was cooking on the fire when they arrived, and baby Carrie was playing on the floor.
Sorry we're late,
said Pa, and then he took the beads out of his pockets and showed them to Ma.
But look what the girls found,
he said.
Oh, they're beautiful,
Ma said with a smile. Laura thought the beads looked even prettier than before. She touched her beads with her finger and watched them shine.
These are mine,
she said. Then Mary said,
Carrie can have mine.
Ma waited for Laura to speak. But Laura didn't want to say anything. She felt all hot inside and wished that Mary wasn't always such a good girl. But she couldn't let Mary be better than she was. So she said slowly,
Carrie can have mine, too.
You're good little girls, Ma said.
She put Mary's beads into Mary's hands and Laura's into Laura's hands, and she said,
You can make a pretty necklace for Carrie to wear around her neck.
Mary and Laura sat side by side on their bed and made Carrie's necklace. They didn't say anything. Perhaps Mary felt sweet and good inside, but Laura didn't. When she looked at Mary, she wanted to hit her. So she didn't look at her again. The beads made a beautiful necklace. Carrie laughed when she saw it. Then Ma tied it around Carrie's little neck, and Laura felt a little bit better. It looked so pretty on her. But when Carrie felt the beads on her neck, she tried to break the necklace. So Ma untied it and put it away.
Carrie can wear it when she's older, Ma said.
Laura still wanted those pretty beads for herself, but she knew it had been a wonderful day. She knew she was never going to forget the Indian camp. Chapter 6 Summertime on the Prairie. Summer had come to the prairie, and the air was still and warm. One evening, Laura and Pa were sitting outside under a big moon, while Pa played his fiddle. Everything was so beautiful. Laura wanted it to stay that way forever. Suddenly, she heard a strange, low sound far away.
What's that?
She asked. Pa listened.
Cattle,
he said.
It must be the cattle herds going north.
They listened together, and Laura thought she could hear a song.
Is that singing, Pa?
She asked.
Yes,
Pa said.
The cowboys are singing to their cattle. It's time for them to sleep, and you too.
The next morning, when Laura ran out of the house, two strange men were sitting on horses by the stable. They were talking to Pa. They were as red-brown as Indians, and they wore big wide hats and cowboy boots. Handkerchiefs were tied around their necks, and guns were at their sides. They said goodbye to Pa and rode away across the hot prairie.
What a piece of luck,
Pa said to Ma.
Those men are cowboys. They want me to help them to move the cattle across the creek. They'll pay me with beef. How would you like a good piece of beef?
Oh, Charles,
Ma said, and her eyes shone. Pa tied his biggest handkerchief around his neck. He showed Laura how a cowboy pulls it up over his mouth and nose to keep the dust out. Then Pa rode Patty down the Indian trail. All day the sun shone hot, and the sound of cattle herds came nearer. Laura and Mary could see the dust that they made. Pa came riding home as the sun was going down, covered with dust. There was dust in his hair and around his eyes, and dust fell from his clothes. He was going to work again the next day because the cattle were not across the creek yet. The cattle moved slowly, eating grass as they went. Pa fell asleep soon after supper that night. Laura lay awake and listened to the sounds of the cattle on the prairie and the high, lonely songs of the cowboys. The songs sounded like the crying of wolves under the moon, and they made Laura feel sad. All the next day, Laura and Mary watched the prairie. Suddenly, out of the dusty grass, not far from the stable, cattle came running. They ran fast, their feet beating the ground. A cowboy on a black and white horse rode faster to get in front of them. He waved his big hat and shouted at the cattle as he moved them along. They all went over a low hill and disappeared. Laura ran around outside, waving her hat and shouting wildly.
Laura, Ma said, stop that. A young lady shouldn't shout like that.
I wish I could be a cowboy, Ma,
Laura said. Late that afternoon, Laura saw Pa riding home with two cowboys, a cow, and a little black and white calf. Pa tied the cow to the stable and said goodbye to the cowboys. Ma's eyes opened wide when she saw their new animals.
They gave me the cow because she was too thin to sell,
Pa said when he came in the house.
And the calf is too small to travel. They gave me the beef, too.
Then Pa went out to the stable to get some milk from the cow for baby Carrie. They watched her drink all that good milk. Baby Carrie's little red tongue cleaned her milky lips, and she laughed. Ma cooked the beef, and everyone felt happy. Nothing had ever tasted as good as that thick red meat. The cattle were far away now, and the girls couldn't hear the songs of the cowboys anymore. A little later in the year, there were blackberries, and in the hot afternoons, Laura went with Ma to pick them in the bushes by the creek. There were mosquitoes everywhere in the blackberry bushes, and they liked to bite Laura and Ma. Laura's fingers and her mouth got purple-black from eating the big blackberries. Her face, hands, and feet were covered with mosquito bites. But every day, they brought home buckets full of berries, and Ma laid them out in the sun to dry. In the day, there were only a few mosquitoes in the house. But at night, if the wind wasn't blowing hard, there were lots of them. On still nights, Pa burned wet grass around the house to keep the mosquitoes away, but they came just the same. Pa could not play his fiddle in the evenings because so many mosquitoes bit him. Mr. Edwards did not visit after supper because there were too many mosquitoes in the creek. And every morning, Laura's face was full of red mosquito bites.
It'll get colder soon,
Pa said.
And then they'll go.
Laura did not feel very well. One day, she felt cold even in the hot sun, and she could not get warm by the fire.
Why don't you and Mary go out to play?
Ma asked Laura.
I don't want to play,
answered Laura.
I'm tired, and I ache.
Ma stopped her work.
Where do you ache?
I don't know,
said Laura.
I just ache. My legs ache.
I ache, too,
Mary said. Ma put her hand against Laura's face.
You're as hot as fire,
she said. Laura felt like crying, but of course she didn't. Only little babies cried.
I'm cold now,
she said,
and my back aches.
Charles, Ma called, look at the girls. I think they're sick.
Pa and Ma put them to bed in the middle of the day. Laura did not really go to sleep, but she did not really wake up again for a long, long time. Strange things seemed to be happening. She heard voices, but no words. Sometimes she felt as cold as ice, and then she was burning. Days and nights passed like this. She heard Pa say,
Go to bed, Caroline.
Ma said,
You're sicker than I am, Charles.
Then one day, Laura opened her eyes and saw the bright light of the sun. Mary was beside her crying.
I want a drink of water. I want a drink of water.
Jack was walking between the big bed and her little bed. Pa was lying on the floor by the big bed. Jack took Pa's shirt in his teeth and shook it. Pa's head lifted up a little, and he said,
I must get up. I must. Caroline and the girls.
Then his head fell back, and he lay still. Jack howled. Laura tried to get up, but she was too tired. Then she saw Ma's red face looking from the big bed. Mary was still crying for water. Ma looked at Mary, and then she looked at Laura, and she whispered,
Laura, can you get up?
Yes, Ma,
Laura said. This time she got out of bed, but when she tried to stand up, she fell down again. She felt Jack's tongue on her face, and she held on to him and sat up. She knew she must get water for Mary, and she did. She crawled all the way across the floor to the water bucket, and then crawled all the way back to Mary with the water. Mary's eyes did not open, but her mouth drank all the water. Then she stopped crying. Laura crawled back into bed. It was a long time before she began to get warm again. Sometimes she heard Jack howling, and she thought he was a wolf. She lay in bed burning and hearing him howl. She heard the voices talking again, and she opened her eyes and saw a big black face close to hers. Its eyes were black and soft. This face smiled, and a deep voice said softly,
Drink this, little girl.
Laura opened her mouth, but the drink was bitter, and she turned her head away. The deep voice said again,
Drink it. It will make you well.
So she drank the bitter medicine. When Laura woke again, a fat woman was by the fire. She brought Laura water and a cup of something hot that tasted good, like chicken.
Drink it all up, like a good child,
she said. Laura looked at Mary asleep beside her. She looked at Pa and Ma asleep in the big bed. Jack lay half asleep on the floor. Laura looked again at the fat woman and asked,
Who are you?
I'm Mrs. Scott,
she said, smiling.
I'm here to take care of everything until you're all well. Now go to sleep.
The next morning, Laura felt so much better that she wanted to get up. But Mrs. Scott said she must stay in bed until the doctor came. Laura was surprised when she saw him. He was the black man. Laura had never seen a black man before, and she could not take her eyes off Dr. Tan. He talked with Pa and Ma and laughed his big laugh before he hurried away. Mrs. Scott said that all the settlers along the creek were sick. She had been going from house to house, working day and night.
"You're lucky to be alive," she said. "It's because Dr. Tan found you when he did."
Dr. Tan was a doctor with the Indians. He was on his way to the town of Independence when he passed Pa's house. Strangely, Jack, who usually hated strangers, had run after Dr. Tan and made him come in.
"And here you all were, more dead than alive,"
Mrs. Scott said.
"All of you sick at the same time. Dr. Tan stayed with you a day and a night before I came. Now he's taking care of all the sick settlers."
The next day, Pa and Laura were out of bed. The next day, Ma got up, and then Mary. They were all thin and shaky, but they could take care of themselves. So Mrs. Scott went home.
"How can we ever thank you?"
Ma said.
"It's nothing," Mrs. Scott said. "Neighbors are there to help each other."
Pa was thinner and walked slowly, and Ma often sat down. Mary and Laura didn't feel like playing, but every day they got a little bit stronger. Pa couldn't work outside, so he sat in the house and made a beautiful chair for Ma. He played his fiddle, and Mary and Laura were happy. No one knew in those days that the illness was malaria and that it came from the mosquitoes. Chapter 7. Mr. Edwards Meets Santa Claus. The prairie had changed. Now the days were short and cold, and the wind howled. Day after day, the cold rain fell. Mary and Laura played close to the fire and listened to the wet sound of rain. The nights were cold, but it never snowed. Every morning they saw only sad, wet grass. They wished they could see snow. Laura was worried because Christmas was near, and Santa Claus could not travel without snow. Mary thought that with or without snow, perhaps Santa Claus couldn't find them so far away in Indian territory.
"What day is it?"
the girls asked Ma.
"How many more days until Christmas?"
And they counted the days until there was only one more day to go. Rain was still falling that morning.
"Perhaps there won't be a Christmas this year,"
Laura said. Still, she went on hoping. But when Ma opened the door to let in some air and Laura heard the noise of the creek, She knew there was not going to be a Christmas that year. The creek was full and roaring with water. Santa Claus could not possibly cross it. Pa came in, bringing a big fat turkey.
How's that for a Christmas dinner?
He asked.
Pa, is the water in the creek going down?
Mary asked.
No, Mary. The water is moving fast. It'll be too dangerous for Mr. Edwards to try to cross it now,
Pa replied. Mr. Edwards was invited to eat Christmas dinner with them, but now it looked impossible.
No,
Pa said.
I don't think Edwards will be here tomorrow.
Then Santa Claus can't come either,
said Mary.
It's too bad, Ma said. But I know he hasn't forgotten you girls. He'll come next year, I'm sure.
Still, Laura and Mary were not happy. It did not seem at all like Christmas. Even Pa did not want to play his fiddle. After a long while, Ma suddenly stood up.
I'm going to put up your stockings, girls,
she said.
Perhaps something will happen.
Laura's heart jumped. But then she remembered the roaring creek and felt sad. She and Mary watched Ma put their stockings over the fireplace.
Now go to sleep,
Ma said, kissing them as they lay in their beds.
Morning will come quicker if you're asleep.
Then Laura heard Jack growl and someone crying.
Ingalls! Ingalls!
When Pa opened the door, Laura saw that it was morning.
Edwards! Come in, man. What's happened? Come sit by the fire,
Pa said. Mr. Edwards was shaking with cold.
I swam across the creek,
he said.
I carried my clothes on my head, but I'll be all right as soon as I get warm.
It was too dangerous, Edwards,
Pa said.
We're happy you're here, but it was too dangerous for a Christmas dinner.
Your little ones needed a Christmas,
Mr. Edwards replied.
I had their presents from Independence, so no creek could stop me.
Laura sat straight up in bed.
Did you see Santa Claus in Independence?
She shouted.
I sure did,
Mr. Edwards said.
Where?
When?
What did he look like?
Did he really give you something for us?
Mary and Laura cried.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Edwards laughed.
I'll put Santa's presents in your stockings, girls, said Ma. Like Santa usually does. You mustn't look.
They tried not to look at Ma as Mr. Edwards answered all their questions. When he saw the creek was so full, he said he knew Santa Claus could not get across it.
But you did,
said Laura.
Yes, but I'm young. Santa Claus is too old and fat. I knew that Santa could only get as far south as Independence. So I walked to Independence and met Santa coming up the street, and the first thing he said to me was, Hello, Edwards.
How did he know you?
Asked Laura.
Santa Claus knows everybody,
said Mr. Edwards.
And he said he knew two good little girls named Mary and Laura who lived by the Verdigris River. He asked me to bring your presents for him this year because with the water so high, he couldn't cross the creek himself. So here I am, sent by Santa Claus.
Laura and Mary were silent a minute, thinking about that. Then Ma said,
"You may look now, girls."
Something was shining bright in the top of Laura's stocking. She jumped out of bed. So did Mary. But Laura beat her to the fireplace. And the shining thing was a bright new tin cup. Mary had one just like it. These new tin cups were their very own. Now they each had a cup to drink from. Laura jumped up and down and shouted and laughed. But Mary stood still and looked with bright eyes at her own tin cup. Then they reached into the stockings again, and they pulled out two long sticks of red and white candy. They looked and looked at that beautiful candy. Laura put her tongue on her candy just to taste it, but Mary only looked at hers. Those stockings were not empty yet. They each pulled out a little cake shaped like a heart. They had white sugar, like snow, on top, and were too pretty to eat. Laura and Mary just sat there. But then Ma said,
"Are you sure the stockings are empty?"
The girls put their arms down inside them again. And in the toe of each stocking was a shiny, bright new penny. They could not speak. There had never been such a Christmas.
"Aren't you going to thank Mr. Edwards?"
Ma said gently.
"Oh, thank you, Mr. Edwards. Thank you,"
they said. And they meant it with all their hearts. Pa shook Mr. Edwards' hand, and Pa and Ma and Mr. Edwards looked like they were almost crying. Laura didn't know why. Then Ma's eyes opened wide. Mr. Edwards was taking sweet potatoes from his pockets. They were for Christmas dinner. Mr. Edwards had brought them all the way from town, too.
"It's too much, Edwards,"
Pa said.
"We can never thank you enough."
For Christmas dinner, there was the big, tasty turkey. There was bread that Ma had made, and there were the sweet potatoes. And after all that, they ate dried blackberries and little cakes. Then Pa and Ma and Mr. Edwards sat by the fire and talked about Christmas times back in Wisconsin. Mary and Laura looked at their beautiful cakes and played with their pennies. Little by little, they ate their sticks of candy. That was a happy Christmas. Chapter 8. More and More Indians. The nights were still cold on the high prairie, and the days were short and gray. Indians came riding on the path that passed so close to the house. They sat up straight on their naked horses and did not look right or left, but their black eyes shone. Mary and Laura sat against the house and looked up at them.
I'm sorry I built the house so close to the Indian Trail,
Pa said.
But I thought they didn't use it anymore.
Yes, there are so many Indians around here, Ma said. I can't look up without seeing one.
As she spoke, she looked up, and there stood an Indian. He was in the doorway, and they had not heard a sound.
Oh, dear,
Ma whispered, frightened. Jack jumped at the Indian. Pa caught him just in time.
Ow,
the Indian said to Pa. Pa held on to Jack and replied,
How?
He pulled Jack over to the bed and tied him there. The Indian came in and sat down by the fire, and Pa sat down next to him. They sat there, friendly, but not talking, while Ma finished cooking dinner. Laura and Mary were quiet on their bed in the corner. They couldn't take their eyes from that Indian. He was so still that the beautiful eagle feathers in his hair did not move. He wore trousers made of animal skins, and his moccasins were covered with beads. Pa and the Indian ate silently. Then Pa gave the Indian some tobacco for his pipe. They filled their pipes, lighted them, and silently smoked until the pipes were empty. All this time, nobody had said anything. But now, the Indian said something to Pa. Pa shook his head and said,
No speak.
They all sat silent a while longer. Then the tall Indian got up and went away without a sound.
Oh, dear,
Ma said again. Pa said the Indian was an important man.
He wore eagle feathers in his hair. I think he was an Osage Indian. I'm sure that was French he was speaking. I wish I spoke some French.
I think Indians should stay together with other Indians, Ma said, and we'll do the same.
Don't worry, Caroline,
Pa said.
That Indian was very friendly, and their camps down along the creek are quiet enough. If we're polite to them and watch Jack, we won't have any trouble.
The very next morning, when Pa opened the door, Laura saw Jack standing on the Indian trail, showing all his teeth. Right in front of him was the tall Indian, sitting very still on his horse. Jack looked ready to jump at them. When the Indian saw Pa, he lifted his gun and pointed it straight at Jack. Pa ran to the trail and pulled Jack out of the way, and the Indian rode on.
We were lucky that time,
Pa said.
Well, it's his path. It was an Indian trail long before we came.
After that, Jack was always tied up. He got crosser and crosser, but there was nothing Pa could do about it.
If Jack hurts an Indian,
he said,
there will be bad trouble.
Wild animals were wearing their thick winter fur, and Pa went hunting every day. He caught small animals and shot large ones for their fur. He carefully put the skins outside the house to dry in the sun. In the evenings, he pulled the dry skins between his hands to make them soft. And every day, the bundle of furs on the floor grew bigger. Laura loved to feel the soft fur in her fingers. Pa was saving all these furs to trade next spring in Independence. One day, when Pa was hunting, two Indians walked right into the house. They were dirty and cross. One of them looked at all the things in Ma's cupboard and took all the cornbread. The other took Pa's tobacco. Then one of them picked up the bundle of furs. Ma held baby Carrie in her arms, and Mary and Laura stood close to her. They looked at that Indian taking all Pa's furs, but they couldn't do anything to stop him. The Indian carried the furs as far as the door. Then the other Indian said something to him in an angry voice, and he dropped the bundle. They finally went away. Ma sat down and pulled Mary and Laura close to her, and Laura felt Ma's heart beating.
"Well," said Ma, smiling, "I'm thankful they didn't take the plow and seeds."
Laura was surprised. She asked,
"What plow?"
"Your pa is going to trade that bundle of furs for a plow and lots of different seeds in the spring,"
Ma said. When Pa came home, they told him about those Indians, and he looked serious.
"But all's well that ends well,"
he said.
"And soon all the Indians here will move west."
"Why do they go west?"
Laura asked.
"When white settlers arrive in a place, the Indians have to move away from there."
"But why?"
"The government makes them, Laura,"
Pa said.
"That's why we're here. Lots of white people are going to come and live here. We came first to choose the best land. Now do you understand?"
"Yes, Pa,"
Laura said.
"But, Pa, I thought this was Indian territory. Won't the Indians be angry if they have to..."
"No more questions, Laura,"
Pa said.
"It's time for bed."
Winter ended at last. The wind was softer, and the terrible cold was gone. One day, Pa said it was time to take his furs to Independence. Ma said,
"But the Indians are so near."
"They're very friendly,"
Pa said.
"I often meet them when I'm hunting in the forest. You needn't be afraid of them."
"No,"
Ma said. But Laura knew that Ma was afraid of Indians.
"You must go, Charles,"
she said.
"We must have a plow and seeds, and you'll be back soon."
The next morning, before the sun came up, Pa got the horses ready, put the furs into the wagon, and drove away. Laura and Mary counted the long, empty days. 1, 2, 3, 4, and still Pa had not come home. Ma said it was taking him a long time to trade his furs in town. In the afternoon of the fifth day, Laura and Mary were playing a game outside. The weather was wild and sweet. The wind smelled like spring, and birds were flying north in the wide blue sky. Suddenly, Mary stopped and said,
"What's that?"
Laura had already heard the strange noise.
"It's the Indians,"
she said. Mary stood still. She was frightened. Laura was not really afraid, but that noise made her feel strange. It was the sound of many Indian voices, something like an axe cutting wood, or like a dog barking. It was wild, but it didn't seem angry. Ma came outdoors and listened for a minute. Then she locked the animals in the stable. She told Laura and Mary to bring wood into the house. The sound was getting louder now and faster. It made Laura's heart beat fast.
"Come inside the house now,"
Ma said. She took Jack inside, too, and locked the door. The sun went down, and the sky turned bright pink. Ma was busy getting supper ready, but Laura and Mary watched from the window silently.